Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here again with brothers and sisters here at Living Hope. Bring you greetings from Harmony. I've been blessed with the service this far. I really was blessed with the singing, the songs. Quite a few of the songs we sang would be in that long list of favorites that I never fully defined. But songs I enjoy very much. Last spring, I was going to bed rather late one night. Actually, I was in bed for some time, was just drifting off to sleep. And suddenly, I heard in my half-conscious awareness some noises, some tires squealing, followed by some thumping, bumping noises. Finally, a crunch, and it went quiet. And I immediately became fully awake and leaped out of bed and headed out with a spurt of adrenaline like my wife can tell you that I don't get real often. I'll finish that story later. This morning, the title I have is Maple Trees, Mulch Piles, and Root Issues. That might be a strange title, but I trust Jesus taught in parable, and this morning I trust that you can bear with me and be attentive and learn some things if I also use a parable this morning. First of all, I'd like to quote together Psalm 1. If you need your Bible, you can turn there, but otherwise, I'd like if we could all just stand and quote it together. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree which is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You may be seated. The godly man here is pictured as a tree. What a beautiful picture. A tree. A flourishing tree. I have always been fascinated and enjoyed trees. Now, I can't say I know a lot about them, but I've always enjoyed the magnificence of a tree. At my mother's house, there is a big white oak tree in her backyard. And speculation is that it's over 400 years old. It is large, very large. And if you've seen some of those white oaks, you'll know that a white oak, at least that kind of white oak, puts their branches almost straight out. And some of the limbs on this tree are the size of full-grown trees themselves, and they're going straight out the side. And I've stood there many a times and just marveled at the strength of that tree. It would take quite a bit of engineering to build a structure in that shape with that kind of weight involved for us to do that. Awe-inspiring. And I trust all of us want to be like that tree, a tree that is flourishing, a tree that is beautiful, a tree that is bearing fruit. And so some questions this morning would be, is your spiritual life like a strong, healthy tree? Are you flourishing? Do you love God with all your heart this morning? Are you drawing nourishment from God's word? Are your leaves green? Are you bearing fruit? In other words, is the love of God evident? Is it flowing out to others? Are you prospering? Are you free? Are you free of entanglements, of things that bring us into bondage? Are you able to respond right when you're wronged? Or when circumstances go against you, are you able to respond well, as Christ would? Or are there areas in your life that are drying up, that are shriveling up, things that are robbing you of joy and fulfillment? Maybe you feel frustrated with life and circumstances that you find yourself in. You know, one area we can think of, and by far the message this morning, I would like us to think far beyond just the realm of relationships. But relationships is an easy place for us to look and begin to analyze how we're doing. How am I doing in relationships? What about my relationship with those closest to me? My marriage, my spouse, how are things? With my children, with my parents, with my brothers and sisters in the church, how are my relationships? We just quoted together Psalm 1, and I just want to point out that the blessed man chooses. He chooses. Do you catch it? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. That's a choice, to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. He makes a choice to not stand in the way of sinners and to not sit in the seat of the scornful. But he does choose to make the law of the Lord his delight and to meditate in the Word of God. Those are choices. We want to think about that as we go along today, that whether we are a prospering tree or not depends on little choices. We heard about in finances, it was referred to about that small transaction. And I suppose somebody that works in the SALT program, probably there's a lot more things that come to mind than come to my mind. But nonetheless, we understand that small choices have big consequences. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We must continually choose to deal with our sinful nature. And today I want to talk about getting to and dealing with root issues of problems in our lives. And what those problems may be can be hugely diverse. But many times the things we face, the difficulties in our lives, come back to some very basic root issues. This message was inspired a bit as I worked in my yard last spring, and we are again in springtime. We love springtime, don't we, when things are coming to life. Well, as I worked around my property there, worked with some of the trees, I was also spending some time in the book of Jeremiah. And I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5 is where we'll read. We know Jeremiah as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah had a difficult job. He had the job, God gave him the responsibility to bring the word of God in the last days of the kingdom of Judah. It was finally time for the judgment of God upon the sins of the people of Judah. And Jeremiah was the man that was given that responsibility. And I'll just refer, you don't have to look there, but in Jeremiah 1 verse 10, God calls Jeremiah and says that he set him over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. And the two things there that catch my attention this morning are particularly to root out and to plant. Jeremiah chapter 5, let's read the first three verses. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, Are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Excuse me. What a sad case. There was no one that sought after truth. Verse 3 says, they have been stricken and consumed. This was not a good time in the kingdom of Judah. And we don't have the time this morning to explore what all was going on, but there had been extreme political unrest. They had gone through a short period of time with four kings. King Josiah, I believe, was a good king. But following him were three kings that it was just not a good time in the kingdom of Judah. A lot of turmoil, a lot of political unrest, a lot of being conquered. Says, they have been stricken and consumed. And yet, in spite of that, they refused to hear correction. Their faces were set like a rock, harder than a rock. But things look good on the outside in verse 2. It says, and though they say the Lord liveth, they profess the name of Christ or the name of God. You know, we can have so much trouble in our lives, so much turmoil, so many things going wrong, and yet still not hear that voice of correction. Turn with me to chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves, by the green trees, upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath or a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You see, the people of Judah had a heart problem. It says, verse 1, that their sin is written on their heart, graven with an iron, graven with diamond, the hardest substances. Verse 5 refers to the man whose heart departeth from the Lord. He's going to be a dried up, stripped, unhealthy shrub in a dry, barren desert. A heart problem. But those who trust in the Lord, verses 7 and 8, will be like a tree. And even in the worst of circumstances, even in the worst environment for growing, even in the most dire drought, this tree will be prospering and bearing fruit. Verses 9 and 10, the focus comes back to the heart. That the heart is deceitful, wicked. Who can know it? You know, the Bible gives us this clear verdict about the heart. And yet, so often we make excuses, don't we? We make excuses for our personal sins. About 6 years ago, We purchased the property where we live currently, not far from Harmony there. And in the front yard of our property was a Norway maple tree. And I was fairly delighted with this tree. It was fairly mature, a large tree. It had a very good appeal. It was shaped very nicely, had a very nice dome structure to it. It had lovely foliage, dark green leaves. In the fall, it would turn a magnificent yellow. I was very delighted with this tree to have it in the front yard. It shaded a large portion of the front yard, and it was just it was at a good spot. I just enjoyed this tree. But a year or so after we lived there, in the spring, I noticed a few branches on the one side didn't quite leaf out the way they should have. There was a few little green things going on there, but just a few dried up branches. Wasn't sure what that was all about. I decided, well, the rest of the tree looks so nice. I'm sure there's nothing major wrong here. Rest of the tree looks good. Give it a chance. It'll fight off whatever it is, and everything will be fine. And I denied that there was even an issue at all. You know, in our lives, we can be in denial of personal issues, of sin in our lives. We can be in denial and have some significant needs while holding bitterness in our hearts towards another individual. We can be in denial of such needs in our life, of a root issue. We can be in denial when resisting authority that God placed in our lives. We can be in denial while we are unkind to our spouse, to our wife, or our husband. Well, the next year, the spot was a little bigger. A few more branches were affected. It wasn't much. If you would have come to my house, you would have probably never noticed. But it was bigger. And I was a little concerned. I looked at it. Well, we had been having some wet years, some very wet years and summers, and I looked at these branches, and it looked to me like there was some fungus going on there, a lot of bugs and things. And I thought, well, let's give it a dry year once, and everything will be all right. It's the environment affecting my tree. It's too moist. There's too much moisture, too much humidity, too much rain. Surely when things dry out a bit and we go through another season, why, everything will be fine. You know, in my life, it's easy to blame my problems on the environment I'm in. I've been treated unfairly. You know, if everyone would treat me right, then I would be a good person. You ever feel that way? You know, currently at Harmony, I'm working on a set of messages dealing with trying to grapple with some of the difficulties of thought life. And one of the things I shared a couple weeks ago that I call the ABCs of thought life, and this isn't original with me, but it's ABC, A for activating events, B for beliefs, and C for consequences. And what happens in our lives is there's things that happens to us. There's the environment we're in. There's the events that life brings our way that we have no control over. And they activate our belief system. B is for beliefs. But it is our belief systems. It is the way, the lenses we look through, how we interpret the events, the activating events in our life, that is ultimately what determines the consequences. The activating events in life do not directly determine consequences. It is my belief system. It is the lenses I choose to look through that ultimately determine consequences, outcome. Consequences being my spiritual health, how I'm doing, how sin besetting sins, how I feel. Well, the next year, the problem on my maple tree was a bit more noticeable, and I was a bit alarmed. The tree was no longer had the appeal that it once did. It now was beginning to be a noticeable problem that just driving past my house, you may have probably seen it and noticed that, huh, part of this tree is dying. And so I was concerned and I didn't know what to do, so I got on the phone and I called an arborist. An arborist is a person that's trained to work with trees, the health of trees. And this man came to my place and pulled in the driveway there. And the driveway is on the opposite side of the tree from the problem. So it looks fine from the driveway. And so I started telling the man that, well, this tree over here is where the problem is, the problem tree. And the problem's over on the other tree. We need a side of the tree. We need to walk over there and step back a bit and we'll see. And I almost felt like this man ignored me. He was a very nice gentleman, but I felt just a bit misunderstood because he didn't seem to be too concerned about what I was seeing in the foliage on the other side of the tree. But rather, he walked, and I followed, directly under the tree from the side where he was parked and right to the base of the tree. And he knelt down there and began to push around at the dirt with his hands. And I stood there thinking, okay, are you gonna look at the tree? Up here, look over here. Here's where the issue is. Look up there in the branches. You know, isn't that the issue we should be looking at? But he just knelt down at the base of the tree and was studying something else. And after a little bit, he said, problem's right here. I said, really? And then he explained, you see, the problems that this tree had were things that hadn't just started happening when I noticed a problem. In fact, they were going on long before I ever lived there. There was, over the years, mulch that had been piled up around the base of this tree. And you know how maple trees like to grow their roots on the surface? You know, it's kind of tempting, and I did it myself to the same tree. You go out there with a pile of mulch and you throw it over those ugly roots, try to make things look as nice as possible in the yard. Maple trees, that rich mulch, which is good for them, but not up against the base of the tree because it grew roots upward, kept the roots on the surface. Not only that, it probably wasn't planted well. And roots were bound around the base of the tree. It was root bound. And as those roots got bigger and the trunk of the tree got bigger, the tree was now being strangled to death by its own roots, cutting off the circulation of nutrients. And as this man pointed this out to me, I began to see that, oh yes, that is what's going on. Here's a big root. Push back a little more dirt and mulch here, and here's another big root. And I almost can't tell their roots because they're buried in the side of the tree. But I can see that, yes, that's actually a root there, all the way around the tree. And then from there, he began to go up the trunk and show me things that I had already noticed. You know, here there's some bugs. There's some disease. All the way up to the branches where I had first seen a problem, he began to point out the issues where the environment was taking a toll on the tree. But the reason, he said, that the tree can't hold up to the bugs and the fungus is because it's under stress. It has a root issue. And it's not healthy enough. It's not healthy enough to stay healthy against the threats of the environment around it. You know, it's so easy. We have small selfish habits. Small selfish habits. Little roots that grow over time, right? They get bigger. And they get bigger. You know, some of the basic root issues we face are selfishness and pride. Maybe everything actually can almost be brought back to that. Those little selfish roots, selfishness and pride, they get bigger. over time. You know, and I say I'm a spiritual person, just like the children of Judah. I'm a spiritual person. And I put on a front. I take mulch and I pile it around my stem. Cover up those ugly roots. Don't reveal how shallow I am. Cover things up. You know, if we're going to be a healthy tree, we must be honest with ourselves. We must admit that there's selfishness and pride that wants to come up in my own life and continually choose to deal with our human nature. Well, I looked at this man and I said, well, I guess that's it for the tree. There's not much you're going to do for that, is there? You know, I was hoping that he would say, oh, we can spray some chemical on your tree or we can do something and everything will be fine. That's what I was picturing before he came, but now I was devastated. And he said, well, he says, it don't look good. It doesn't look good, but there is maybe some things we can do. And he had a crew come to my yard, and they had one of these big screw-type air compressors that can blast a lot of compressed air. And they took something they called an air spade and blasted away the dirt and the mulch all around the base of the tree, revealing the roots. They didn't come in there with hose and shovels and picks. You know, that's a little lesson for me in trying to help others see their root issues. As while the root issues need to be exposed, we need wisdom to do it gently. Lord, help me to learn. I am afraid that I have failed in this far too many times. But the air, they blasted away the dirt, exposed these roots that were growing improperly, that were restricting the tree, and they went in there and they began to cut. And that's what needs to happen in our lives when there's selfishness and pride there. We need to allow it to be exposed. We need to allow God to come in and begin to cut. And it hurts. And even those that, you know, those that love us the most, when they help us, it will hurt. Well, I want to encourage us this morning that no matter how bad the roots have been bound around the base of your tree, there is hope. You can have victory. God has the power for me to change. The power that rose Jesus, that brought Jesus back from the dead, that the power of the resurrection is yours. I wish I could say that the tree there in my front yard that I'm talking about is there today and that it's doing well. I can't say that. You know, we realized there was a root problem and we tried to do some dealing with it. But the issues were far deeper than what could be gone, than what we could get to. The tree was in the way. We couldn't get to all the root issues. It didn't allow us to. And so we finally cut it down and removed the stump. But as long as we live, we have opportunity to allow God to change our hearts. Now there's another tree behind my house, a Crimson King maple. And that tree, I realized, had some of the same problems. And so I did what they call a root collar surgery myself and cut some roots, blew away the dirt, cut some roots. And today it looks like that tree's turning around. Wherever you're at today, don't be overwhelmed with those habits in your life. We can conquer through Jesus Christ. Well, I bought some new maple trees. Having to cut down that tree was a little too much. And I went to the nursery and I bought some new maple trees, not just one, but a bunch of them. I told my wife it's dangerous to send me to the nursery to buy trees. Beautiful young trees, fresh, perfect. They had been brought up in a perfect environment. I mean, the nursery was a beautiful place. It reminded me of youth, of freshness, of strength, of beauty. But you know, as I took those trees one by one and I pulled them out of the pot they were in, right away I saw problems. I saw big problems. You see, the problem of selfishness and pride, they're a part of our human nature, right? from when we're young. These young trees were root-bound in the pot. Their roots were circled all around. They had been trying to get out of the pot and couldn't. These roots were all circled around there. And I had learned from that lesson with my bigger maple tree that this was going to be a problem. In fact, the arborist told me that most people buy trees from the nursery, even landscapers, pull them out of the pot and plop them in the ground, and hurrah, we planted a tree. And he said, that doesn't work. Those roots are going to be a problem. Well, I took a old pruning shears and I went up and down the side of that root-bound formation there until I had cut and successfully killed all those circling roots, which were most of the roots. I'm sure it was painful to that tree. In fact, I know it was, because this was later in the spring than what I would have liked. And I watched intently for the next weeks and carried lots of water and bought hoses and did lots of things for these trees to get water them, and watched in suspense as those leaves kind of curled up because they didn't have the roots they did. I cut them. Fortunately, they did make it. It reminded me of Proverbs 22, verse 15. As I pulled those trees out of the pots, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know, many parents allow their children to go to adulthood, and the selfish heart, the proud heart, has not begun to be dealt with. We have a great responsibility as parents to help our children to learn how to rid their hearts of selfishness and pride when they're just young, when they're like those young trees. Proverbs 23, you may turn there. Proverbs 23, verse 12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Though thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. You see, it is the responsibility of parents to train children. But as we see in verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. It is all of us. All of us have the responsibility to guide our hearts, to make those choices. Youth, I just want to encourage you this morning that we need to deal with the selfishness, the pride, the bitterness, the love of the world, whatever it is in our hearts now. It's so much easier. It's so much easier. We think, oh yes, well, we're going to grow up, we'll mature, but it's easier to deal with those things now rather than when we're bigger. When the tree is large, it gets harder and harder to deal with. You know, since the time I was a youth, I'm still young. From the time I was very young till now, I've heard many friends, many different youths say, you know, blame things like rebellion. Blame things like rebellion and bitterness on someone else, on their parents, on their church, people in the church. You know, give me space. I've heard different times, many times, give me space and I'll heal. I'll be all right. Well, that's not how it was for my tree. Space and time would not help. In fact, the matter only gets worse. Proverbs 4:20-23 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Well, I heard that noise and was jarred awake and ran outside. Was actually on my way out into the garage, and I heard a bit of commotion, could hear someone sobbing rather loudly and talking. I wasn't sure who to. I was concerned that maybe someone was drunk, so I urged my wife to quickly check the front door to make sure it was locked. I didn't want anybody just walking inside. And I headed out to where the car was in my driveway. There was a car. It was backed up into my driveway. This is a good 100 feet or more off the road. It's backed up against my truck, smashed into my service truck. The front end of the truck is actually pushed over a bit. There's a pile of mulch there for planting my new trees. It's nicely spread out. The young man came around the corner of the house, and when he saw me, he pulled himself together. He wasn't drunk. He was just a bit worked up. And he began to say things like, "I'm sorry, sir. I'm so sorry. It slipped. The tires slipped. The tires spun out. It was the stones. It was, the tires slipped. The tires spun out." And I just smiled to myself. I didn't have much to say. I looked at the situation. I could see, even though it was dark, I could see that, I guess I should explain, those at home know this, but you all don't for the most part, but at my place there's a pretty sharp S-turn. I'm on the second turn for the direction that this man was traveling. And I could see where he had gotten off the road. He had gotten off the road on the other side of the road and at the first turn, and he had managed to regain control in my neighbor's yard across the street and get back kind of on the road just in time to be met with the next turn, and didn't make a turn at all. He must have tried, and instead I saw four tire marks headed off the road at the end of the farm driveway there, hit the loose stones. The stones were scattered all across my front yard, all the way to my house. I saw in my yard two marks that were way too far apart, so the car was going broadside through my yard, right past where I had just planted one of those young maple trees. The string coming down to a stake to make sure it didn't blow over, because remember, I cut all the roots, so these trees don't have anything to hold themselves up with. The car must have come this close to catching that string and wrecking my work. It went right through the area where the old maple tree was, or close by where we had the ground all churned up from taking up the roots, so it made a mess of that. Went on and into my parking drive area there, and by that time it was turned around totally rearward, spread out the pile of mulch and pushed over the front of my service truck. I was very fortunate that the car wasn't in my house. So I just smiled and nodded my head. Sure, tire slipped, yeah. And he called his mother. His mom didn't live far away, showed up. And she wasn't quite so easily satisfied as I was. She says, "Where were you? Where were you going? How did you get here? How did the car get in this driveway? The road's out there. How did the car get in here against this man's truck going backwards? How did this happen?" And again, the same string of words is coming. The tire slipped. The stones. You see all the stones out there, Mom? All the loose stones on that turn out there. All those cinders from last winter. But she says, "No. How did this happen?" Well, after a while, he says, "Let's not talk about it." He tried to explain that. "Let's not talk about it. It's not up for discussion. We'll talk about it later. Not now. Later we'll talk about it. Just let me go." Well, she did. She relented. Well, later that evening, I heard the state police talking to this young man. And this was a very nice state police. This boy was very fortunate. Very nice state police. But he simply walked to the base of that tree. He talked to him a little bit while, and his exact words were, "You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything, but I think you were going too fast." My smile, inwardly, I'm sure was outward, and maybe I was even chuckling. I'm not sure. I tried to hide it. But you know, it's true. He had simply walked to the base of the tree, pushed back the dirt, and said, "Here's the problem. You have a selfish, proud habit that's been getting bigger." I doubt it was the first time he went fast. It was getting bigger. A selfish habit. You know, today, that young man has a choice. He can take the lesson, as I heard the state police say, just slow down, think a little bit, and slow down. He can do that and continue to drive. He could also take the approach, like many people do when they're faced with difficult root issues, that happened, that disaster happened, I almost put the car in his house, I'm not fit to drive, and refuse to drive. He could also go on saying, "I can drive fast. I learned my lesson. I know what happened there. I didn't know the road as well. I know what happened." You know, neither of those last two options are good options. What we need to do with the humility of Christ is allow that dirt to be pushed back. Allow the sin to be exposed. Allow my selfishness and pride. Look at it and allow God to cut. I trust that this could be a blessing. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We are thankful and grateful for what you have done in our lives. Lord, for being our Savior. Father, I pray that you would help us. You know each one of us. You know our struggles. You know our weaknesses. You know where the selfishness and pride has a root hold in each one of our hearts. You know where we struggle with it. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to be humble enough to allow Jesus Christ, to allow others to help us, to recognize my needs, my weaknesses. Lord, help us to stand up in faith, not to be overwhelmed with the circumstances, not to be overwhelmed with our habits, our weaknesses, Father, but to stand up and walk forward to allow those roots to be pruned. Father, I pray that you would give us that grace here this morning. I also pray for each one of the young people here, Lord, that in the early years of their lives, that they would learn the difficult lessons, that they would not have to face roots that are almost too hard to overcome. Lord, that they would prosper. Lord, that we would be like a flourishing tree, each one, each individual, that would bear fruit for your kingdom. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.